In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Before I start, I would like to take a moment and say that last week, my wife and I attended a Crucio retreat as candidates. We did not know what to expect. I knew that I would eat well, but that's about it. Well, it was an amazing experience. I saw many people find tools or ways to repair, rebuild, and perhaps create a new relationship with God. I saw people transformed before my eyes. It would be an understatement to say that it was miraculous. I saw people that did not think that they could or would ever be loved by God. I want to thank the people of Holy Comforter for their love, their prayers, and their support, making this treat, this gift, possible for us. God bless you all. In full disclosure, though, there was one slightly irritating byproduct of the weekend. The Holy Spirit kept on nudging me to revise my sermon based on the things that I had witnessed. So much for getting my sermon done early. In our reading from John, in chapter 10, we're dealing with Jesus as the Good Shepherd. This is a very familiar parable, but why a shepherd? Well, parables give us a way of describing the relationship that God has with his people. And in this case, it also describes the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. The love of God cannot be measured with kilograms or megabytes or miles or even stones. And stones is a reference, a shout out to our friends in the British Isles. But we can only use metaphors and parables. The bad thing about parables is that the point of reference, our point of reference, is slightly different than those of ancient times. And let me explain the difference. In the past, sheep were kept mainly for milk and wool. They were the prized possessions of the shepherd. He did not sell them. They were with him from the time that they were born to the time that they died. And most likely, he was there for both of those events. He knew them, and they knew him. The sheep would follow him. Sheep depended on him for food, water, security, essentially everything. Thus, they tended to live much longer. Shepherds gave them names. They knew them. They answered, they responded to him when he called. In that respect, they're much better than my dogs. At night, the shepherds, all of them, would gather up all of the flocks and put them in a sheepfold or a pen. In that way, one shepherd would be able to guard the sheep while the other shepherds rested. But here's the cool thing. In the morning, each of the shepherds would go into the pen, they would go through the gate, and they would call out their sheep, and only their sheep would respond to his call. And he would lead them out into green pastures. Today, shepherds still provide the sheep with everything they need, but they are predominantly raised for meat, and they tend not to live as long. There's no time to develop a relationship between them, and thus they don't follow the shepherd. Shepherds today push the sheep from point A to point B with dogs because they don't follow. That's a very different relationship. So let's think about the old one. In today's gospel, there are several characters in the story. We have a shepherd, the good shepherd, which Jesus says, I am. Jesus also plays the role of the gate. Both times he says, I am. This I am statement is a very important statement in John's Gospels. In fact, he says it 7 times. It's reminiscent, it's to reinforce God's instructions that he gave Moses when he sent him to Pharaoh. Tell them that you're sent by God, I am. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pastures. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follows them because they know his voice. Jesus is the gate, the only way, the only conduit from our world to the kingdom of God. Jesus uses this metaphor of that primitive sheepfold where the gate is the shepherd protecting and restraining the sheep. It truly is a message of love and concern for humanity. We have the gatekeeper, God the Father. He lets the sheep in and out. He keeps the bad guys away. It's easy to see that the gate and the gatekeeper work together. Throughout John's gospel, he attempts to show that Jesus, the Son of God, was always with or part of God long before he became human. We have a thief, a bandit, and a stranger. The New Jerome Biblical Commentary would infer that these bad guys were the Pharisees. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of the stranger. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. A very strong statement, which I'm sure ticked off the Pharisees. The bad guys or the thieves jump the fences to kill. The good guys, the shepherd, Jesus, are let in by the gatekeeper. The Pharisees and the rules of the temple are not from God. Only Jesus has the authority to come, to save the lost sheep of Israel, to lead them to an abundant life. Oh yes, there's one other character that I didn't mention, and that would be the sheep. Soft, cuddly, pure as the driven snow, because you can't have a shepherd without sheep. Innocent and peaceful sheep. But what if you're not soft and cuddly? What if you're not pure as the driven snow? What if you're not innocent? What if you're a black sheep? Have you ever felt like a black sheep? Different from the crowd? An outcast? Have you ever felt unworthy for God's love? Last night I had dinner with some black sheep. It was a gathering of old friends from the rescue squad. We all rode together. And you might say that we were challenging to the leadership of the squad. We all were very good at our jobs, but the leadership would say that we were mischievously and generally socially unacceptable. We kind of wore that as a badge of honor. Last weekend, I met several black sheep, people who were Christians, but were mad at God, felt distant from God, people who believe that they didn't think that they were worthy of God's love, even though they desperately wanted it. And this is where the Spirit kept on driving me to. The reason why I had to change my message today. The reason why I was up at 3 a.m. Thursday morning revising the sermon. God loves the black sheep too. She loves all of her sheep. All week long I heard was, tell them that I love my children. I was there when they were born. I will be there with them when they die. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And I might add, and not just the soft, cuddly ones. I have to say, I don't like sheep. And when I was 6 years old, I was almost killed by a ram named Pork Chop. I'm sorry, Lamb Chop. I don't know why you would name a nasty, smelly ram Lamb Chop, but they did. If you feel vulnerable, if you feel lost, if you feel unworthy, if you feel like a black sheep, you must hear me. God loves all of his sheep, especially his black sheep. Jesus is not some hired hand that will run away at the first sign of a struggle. He will be right with you. The Holy Spirit, your comforter and ever-present help. Even if the challenges are too much, even if at the end of your life, Christ will be with you. That's what a good shepherd does for all of his sheep. Even his black sheep. De Cloris. Amen.